Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being deeply transformed and enriched by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. So we've been studying the city set on a hill, and today I'm just going to continue from where we stopped yesterday. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24 to 27. Glory to God. We've been checking through scriptures, searching through scriptures, New Testament primarily, and its emphasis on the believer doing good works in Christ. And then we are beginning to see and consider other kinds of good works found in the gospel or found in the Christian faith. Amen. Good works we've been called into. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 speaks of good works we are ordained before time, you know, to walk in. So there are other kinds of good works aside preaching the gospel. So, you know, just the same way some folks can get into the extreme of saying, you know, I don't need to preach the gospel. I just need to do good works and do good to men. And that's my own gospel. Some others can get into another extreme of preaching the gospel. And all they do is just to preach. And then you don't see corresponding, you know, acts of kindness, acts of walking in love. You know, you don't see a corresponding godly attitude or conduct accompanying the preaching of the gospel. Amen. I mean, the man is preaching the gospel and he's so stingy. Praise God. Now, people are going to get saved, you know, while preaching the gospel in different places. But then in his immediate environment, that will serve as a stumbling block. Amen. So that's another extreme entirely. So we are to stay with scriptures and obey all that is found in the scriptures, all that is found rather in the gospel of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. The reason why I said not all in the scriptures is because, of course, certain things have been done away with, Old Testament instructions as pertaining to the Old Covenant. So we have instructions in Christ, instructions in the gospel. So we are to take all. There's no cherry picking. Amen. So I will not say mine is to just do charitable works and be good to people and then succeed in my career. I'm not going to preach the gospel. I will also not say mine is just to preach the gospel. I have no business with, you know, other forms of good works. That will be wrong and erroneous. Both are extremes that are to be avoided. The truth of the matter is we have been called to preach Jesus and to live out, you know, the life that we have been, that we have received in Christ. Both are necessary and both must go hand in hand. Only that the gospel must be the foremost of your, must be foremost in your commitment, must be at the forefront of your activity as a Christian. That is the way you are going to establish your identity as a preacher of the gospel in this world. Glory to God. So Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24 to 27. Bible says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more they will, or how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Glory to God. Jesus is instructing the disciples and the church by extension. And then he says, anything I say to you in the dark, say it in the open. Glory to God. And then he was preparing their minds to know the kind of challenges that may come their way because of publicly and boldly preaching the word of God. Because of their public witness to the person of Christ. Because of their public witness to the light which is Christ. He was preparing their minds. Amen. They've called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more you guys? So expect persecutions. Expect men to insult you. Expect men to reproach you for your faith. Expect men to speak evil of you. Expect men to reject you and to not accept you. Expect men to slander and malign your reputation. Glory to God. And I make bold to say that the reason why many Christians run from preaching the gospel verbally is because of the reproach that comes with that. Amen. Because of the reproach that comes with that. No, it's not because you feel that Jesus has not sent all of us. It's clearly written in scriptures. No, it's not because you think you're not gifted. No, you know you can speak and you can talk and you can share other things with people. That's the same way you've been sharing business ideas and every other form of, you know, every other form of knowledge with people freely. Some of the people who are giving over to gossips, They can gist everything. We turn around to say, I'm not gifted. I cannot share my faith. No, that's not the reason why you're running from it. It is because you don't want to be associated with the reproach and the rejection and the mockery and the slander and the pain and the sufferings that come with making a bold stand and taking a bold stand for the gospel of Christ. That's the problem. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Praise God. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Many are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And that's why they are not preaching. Glory to God. That's why they are not preaching. So Jesus was preparing the minds of the disciples and, you know, everyone by extension to know what to expect even as we go about preaching the word of God. He doesn't want the message hidden. He doesn't want the gospel hidden. He wants it proclaimed. You know, but it comes with a price. Our obedience to preaching the gospel comes with a price. Amen. If you have never suffered anything for the gospel, then you have not even preached it. I doubt if you have preached it. Nobody has insulted you. Nobody has accused you of misleading people. Nobody has, you know, resisted your words. Nobody has spoken against you. I mean, it's a normal thing. Praise God. It's a normal experience. And that's what people run from. Diverse times I've been told to keep quiet while preaching the gospel in the bus. While others were saying, no, please don't mind that. You know, keep talking. There was a particular one when the woman kept shouting at me and kept trying to shut me down, and I kept preaching. Glory to God. It's a normal thing. It's a normal thing. What about being threatened? I'm going to beat you if you don't leave this place. Those are normal things. Peter says, if you are reproached for the sake of Christ, happy are ye. Hallelujah. Happy are you. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory, rests upon you. Amen. Happy are you. It's a normal thing. But you know, that's the reason why many people run from associating with the gospel publicly. At 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 10, Paul speaking says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes! And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What does it mean to live godly? The preaching of the gospel. To take a bold stand for the gospel. Hallelujah. To be found proclaiming it. That was the reason why Paul was persecuted. That was the reason why Paul was afflicted. That was the reason why men rejected and stood against Paul. So if Paul says, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution, he's referring to men who are not ashamed to make a bold declaration concerning Jesus in the public, in the face of men. Hallelujah. Men who are not ashamed to take a bold stand for the truth of the word of God as opposed to popular opinions and, you know, the ideologies of men. Amen. What do you think is going to happen to you when you get into a place where everybody says we all are serving the same God and there's one brotherhood all around the world, whether you're a Christian or an unbeliever, Muslim, atheist, it doesn't matter. We all are children of God. And then you say, no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. There's only one way to the Father. His name is Jesus. What do you think is going to happen? They are going to mob you. Hallelujah. Oh, God. They are going to lynch you. So you see, with the possibility of such realities, many believers would rather just be quiet. Mind your business. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to, you know, bother anybody at your workplace. Just be quiet on your way to your workplace. Be quiet in your community or vicinity environment. Be quiet in the midst of friends, family members. Just be quiet. Say nothing about anybody's faith. Say nothing about anybody's belief system. Just be a gentleman. You get that kind of stuff. Because you don't want anybody to go and lynch you. Amen. You still have a lot of things to achieve in this life. I mean, you have aspirations and goals and dreams and ambitions. You want to be you want to be on the Forbes list, for instance. And nobody should just go and cut you short in your prime. So people avoid the gospel because they know it's possible the gospel lands them in trouble. Amen. I'm telling you what I know, you know, in over 10 years. I'm telling you what I've seen over 10 years of preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with people and getting men to commit to the same. I'm telling you from experience that people are afraid of getting into trouble because of preaching the word. So they just rather want to mind their own business and be quiet and, you know, don't disturb anybody with your faith and, you know, with your Jesus and all that. Praise God. But then, you know, Jesus says to his disciples, he says to carry your cross and follow me. You know, that's no salvation. In salvation, the only cross that is relevant is the cross of Christ. But in discipleship, the disciple has to carry his cross and deny himself. So that carrying your cross and denying yourself is what many people are running from. Amen. But I want to say this to you. It is worth it preaching the gospel. It is worth it serving Jesus. It's worth it obeying Christ. Glory to God. It's worth it. So Matthew 10, 24 to 27, Jesus was preparing the hearts of these guys. And then it says, you know, they've abused the master. They've insulted him or slandered him. Expect the same. However, do not be afraid. Glory to God. He says to them, therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Don't be afraid of these guys. Glory to God. You see, that's instructive. Don't be afraid, because Jesus knows that the major reason why men will not preach the gospel is because of fear. Fear of opposition, fear of persecution, fear of rejection, fear of what friends may think about you. Ah, this guy, so this guy is that religious. Wow, oh my God, praise God. I mean, imagine with all the education and all the, I thought this guy was more enlightened. Oh, I thought this guy was educated. Imagine this guy too, he's carrying this Jesus thing on his head. Now, wow, and then they'll mock you and diss you and just laugh at you and scorn you. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Do not fear. Count all their ridicule and mockery and slander to be nothing. Glory to God. And fasten your gaze on Jesus. He who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus endured the contradictions of sinners. They mocked him on the cross. He was hanging there naked. They mocked him on the cross. If you are the Son of God, get down and we'll believe in you. They mocked him. They dissed him. There was nothing they didn't say against Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. But because of the joy set before him, the joy of bringing men into the kingdom of God, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. The writer of Hebrews says we should look at him as an example. Amen. He is your example. The way Jesus treated shame and despise is the way you are meant to treat it. Turn your backs against them. Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are going to give account to the one that sent you. Not to the people you are sent to, or to the spectators. Glory to God. So let's see anything they want to say. Jesus says, do not fear them. Hallelujah. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Glory to God. Preach on the housetops. The Apostle John makes a very remarkable statement. So you see, until we get out there and preach the gospel boldly, and we have an identity as ministers of the gospel, ministers of the word, or ministers of reconciliation, whichever you choose, men will not know Jesus through us merely by our charitable deeds and acts. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the remarkable statement. 1 John 3 and verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world does not know us. Hallelujah. The world does not know us. So, the world does not know us merely by our being in their midst. Isn't that interesting? You are a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. You are a child of God. Your name registered in heaven. You are God's beloved. Hallelujah. But the world does not know you. Why? Because it's not written on the face. Glory to God. Interestingly, Jesus at John 13, 34 to 35 says, men will know that we are his disciples when we love one another. Amen. Now that could sound like a contradiction to everything I've been saying. That by this, when men see you loving one another, by that example, they will know you are my disciples. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's get this. Let me read John 13, 34 to 35. You know, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. By this all we'll know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The question is this: how can believers love one another if not by hearing God's word regularly? What exactly promotes the love of God in the midst of the saints? It is the teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. This means that the expression of love which the world will see, by which they will know that we are disciples of Jesus, will be seen by the world as the church is given over to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. Amen. You see, when he says, by these men will know that you are my disciples, the word disciples itself implies that men are going to be taught. So the love will be an offshoot of them receiving godly training. So it's in the environment of preaching and teaching God's word, love is promoted amongst the saints. Amen. And you see, that's why the first place believers were called Christians was at Antioch, where they assembled to be taught for a whole year. The church assembled to be taught for a whole year. Acts of Apostles 11 and 26. That was the first place they said, oh, these guys must be Christians. Amen. These guys must be Christians. And what did they see? An environment where men are being taught the word of God. Acts 2:42. Look at this now. That was all the church was doing. And that produced the kind of love that the world had never seen before. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Glory to God. Let me show you this progression very quickly. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 42. Amen. Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Glory to God. Bible says, then fear came upon every soul. That's the result. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Glory to God. As anyone had need. So what produced the kind of love that made men sell their possessions to come and share in common? The teaching ministry. Amen. The teaching ministry. Verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. So I repeat, the expression of love, which the world will see, by which they would acknowledge us as disciples of Jesus, is going to be seen as the church is given over to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. Amen. That's why Acts 11:26, the place where they referred to believers first as Christians, they first referred to us as Christians, was the place where men assembled to be taught the word for a whole year. Amen. For a whole year. Glory to God. So, we don't just say, as we love one another, the word will now come to know that we are disciples of Jesus. No. What produced the love is the teaching of God's word. Amen. So if we remove the preaching and the teaching of God's word, that love by which the world will know we are disciples of Jesus will not even be seen. Amen. What will produce that love is the teaching ministry. Men receiving the truth and the knowledge of Christ by which we are transformed to walk in love as he has loved us. Amen. And you know, that's why I find it funny when believers say that, you know, it's not about doctrine. It's not about Bible study, all this Bible study, doctrine and all that. Let's just love people. Let's just walk in love. Love is enough. Jesus said that by this men will know that you are my disciples. Okay, what is going to produce that love, if not doctrine? Hallelujah. Don't forget 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good works, for every good work. What will produce the love among the saints or promote love amongst the saints is the doctrine of Christ, is the knowledge of the word of God. Hallelujah. When Paul got to the Corinthians, when he got to writing to the Corinthians to address the issues in their midst, men were not walking in love. Some were walking in envy and rivalry. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Amen. So Paul says, you guys are carnal. You are envious. Amen. You are carnal men. Envy. They were not walking in love. So what did Paul do? He began to teach. Because it is by the doctrine, their attitude flaws and character flaws were going to be resolved. Amen. So he began to teach. And it's in this letter we have one of the most profound chapters on the nature of God's love. The nature of love as we have found it in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul wrote a beautiful piece on what love is. Amen. Because the issue of lack of love amongst the saints can only be resolved by doctrine, by teaching, glory to God, by the right knowledge of God. Hallelujah. That's why you find Paul writing, you know, and of course, the Apostle John, also Peter, writing on the necessity of walking in love, on the necessity of walking in love, and on the importance of walking in love, and on the motivation for our love walk, which is the love of Christ. Amen. So the world is not just going to know about our walking in love, they'll also know about the message that has brought about that walk in love, which is supernatural. Praise God. So we're going to continue from here. Let's make the gospel loud and clear. That is our message. That is our ministry. That is what we are to shine on the world. That is the vehicle for making Jesus known in this world. Even as we aspire to do every other good work, we must realize that our first and major assignment is the preaching and proclamation of the gospel. So we'll continue from here in the next teaching. Don't forget to invite your friends, family members, classmates, colleagues, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, full of wisdom. Hallelujah. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.